May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. To whom do we turn to for our strength? In the everyday, when the going gets tough? In today's reading, we learn the people of Israel are despondent. The impossible has happened. Their nation has fallen, their temple destroyed, and they are in exile. Where is the Lord? The victories of Assyria, Babylon, and Persia have made it look as though the false gods are stronger than the God of Israel. The people of Israel are soon to make the journey out of exile, but they have lost hope. They have no strength. They believe God has let them down, that helping them is beyond his power and care. They've lost hope that he can do anything for them. Perhaps we've been in a situation where we felt alone, that God was not with us. We see Isaiah's response to the people of Israel is one of comfort, not judgment. In the people's struggles, they are not able to see God for who he really is. And so the prophet Isaiah describes God, both his being and his person. God sits enthroned above the earth, and he stretches out the heavens like a canopy. Its people and even the great leaders are like grasshoppers or ants. God blows on the earthly rulers and they wither. The Lord says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" He is a great God. He is the God above all gods. His name is above all names. He is the light in the darkness. He is the all-knowing, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the same God that was in the past, that is now, and will be forever. And yet in all of this, his greatness is not just because of his omniscience and his omnipotence. Whilst he is all-knowing and all-powerful, his greatness is because of his grace, his compassion in the world, because of his love for us. In all of his greatness, he is not a remote God. He made the stars, the billions upon billions of them, to not be precise. But God counts each one, calling them by name, and never misses one. And how much does he also care for us, we who are made in his image and are adopted as his children? Isaiah is reminding the people of Israel that though he is great and we are small, this is a God who does care for each person by name. Just like the people of Israel, he wants to share his power with us. He is a power-sharing God. He increases the power of the weak, and as we see in verse 29, he gives strength to the weary. For those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. As the people of Israel were soon to prepare for the journey from exile, Isaiah is saying God has not abandoned them, even if it felt that way. God will renew their strength. He is the source of their strength. And the same promise is for us too. Perhaps there have been occasions when, inadvertently, we have put a limit on what God can do for us and through us. Are we looking at our problem rather than fixing our eyes on him? In the renewing of our strength, an exchange happens. The Lord receives our weakness, and in exchange, he gives us his strength. In the ultimate sense, he takes on our frailty, becoming flesh all the way to the cross. Yet he rises again by the power of the Holy Spirit and offers us a cross-shaped strength, a strength in weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God does not expect us to manage our journey alone. We can get wrapped up in the daily life and we just keep going, trying to sort things out in our own strength, and then the burden of it gets all too heavy and our strength is depleted. Or perhaps a major event happens suddenly and it is too much for us to respond to. Even the strongest people get tired sometimes. An image I have of this is from when I once ice climbed. There was a guy who was very strong, lots of upper body strength, and he tried to climb an ice wall, which looked to be of a small height. But he could not make it to the top. He became exhausted, just over halfway. His arms gave up. The problem was he was not using the points of his crampons on his boots for a secure foothold using the ice, which he needed to do at each step for stability. Was I any better at it? No, not really. God is inviting us today, right now, and every day to walk with him on our journey. We have two ways to walk: in our own strength, justifying our own existence, or in dependence on the Lord's strength, entrusting our justification and life to God. Now, God knows how we feel and how we fear, and he is adequate to meet our every need. He gives us the strength we need. Sometimes the strength will be like eagle's wings, enabling us to soar in a crisis. Other times it will be strength to run faster when the challenges are many, and in situations like the ordinary pressure of life where we just need to continue. Keep on keeping on. With the endurance God gives us, we can keep walking for longer, putting one step in front at a time. God is faithful. He doesn't come and go. God lasts. He does not grow weary. He does not faint. He is everlasting. We were not designed to run ahead, not to be independent and try to solve our own problems ourselves. If we do, we will faint and fall. The way we are to be renewed with God's strength is to wait on the Lord by faith. Now, this does not mean simply to mark time, to sit around and do nothing. No, it is to live in confident expectation of his action on our behalf. We cannot dictate the terms or the means how God responds, but it does mean to hold on to him with confident hope, something the people of Israel had lost. We can look to God in all that we need, believing that he can change our circumstances. We do this by waiting in his presence, meditating on his character and his promises, praying and seeking to glorify him. Jesus gave us the example of how to pray, as he often prayed to God. If Jesus needed to pray and to spend time with God, how much more do we? In Mark's reading, we see Jesus taking time to pray, to receive guidance and strength from God. He got up very early whilst it was still dark and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. This is not to say we need to get up at 4 a.m. to pray, unless this works for some of us, but to find time to pray each day. God invites us to come to him whenever, wherever we are, and however we are. We can come to him in the silence, in a quiet place, or we can come to him in the noise of the day. Jesus' disciples did not know he had gone off to pray. A few hours before, Jesus had been ministering to the sick. He had first healed Simon's mother-in-law, who was in bed with a fever. And then in the evening, he healed many more people of diseases and cast out demons. He gathered quite the crowd, but then left. The disciples were rather anxious and perhaps not a little impatient with Jesus' disappearance, as there were many more to heal. When they found him praying, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." And the disciples were even more surprised by Jesus' response. He was not planning to continue healing, but after praying, to intentionally remove himself from the crowds, to go on to the next towns, to obey the Father's call to preach the gospel. We see that Peter and the others only saw the needs. They did not understand why he went to pray at this time. They did not get the bigger picture, that his major purpose was to preach the gospel. As Jesus says in verse 38, "That is why I have come." The truth comes first. The proclamation is prior. Because within this message are the criteria for testing everything else. There is the centrality of love, the commendation of grace, the challenge to repentance, the invitation to faith. Jesus was becoming very popular with all the healing, and it might have been easier to stay, but Jesus responded to God's calling to stay focused and to follow his primary reason of his mission. Jesus demonstrated faithfulness. He met the needs of people in healing them and answered their questions. Yet Jesus' point to the disciples is that everything that is said and done in the service of God must be done in harmony with the good news of the kingdom. As we serve God, we are to do the same, to meet people's needs, but also to pray and share the good news. We can never obey God in our own strength, but we can always trust him to provide the strength that we need. It may be that we are healed, as with Simon's mother-in-law is healed, after which immediately she starts to serve the guests. When God gives us healing or re-energizes us with his strength, it better equips us to go out and to serve him. In serving God, we see that Jesus did not wait for people to come to him. He went to where the people were to preach the gospel. An encouragement to us to seek people where they are at in order to reach them with the good news. They too can then know of God's strength available for them. As we walk with God in the journey of faith, just like the disciples, Jesus will be leading the way. We will learn, develop new skills, go through new experiences, and get closer to God. It may not be easy, just as the journey Israel was facing wasn't. But God is there to give us what we need to sustain us. When we are weary and lonely, he is our refuge, our shelter. We follow in his footsteps with the support of the community of his people here around us. To close, a Sabbath blessing from Lectio 365. May this day bring Sabbath rest to our hearts and our homes. May God's image in us be restored and our imagination in God be restored. May the gravity of the material things be lightened and the relativity of time slow down. May we know the grace to embrace our finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed us and his spirit lead us into the week and into the life to come. Amen.